Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson.
Don Wilson had a long and varied career in the Hollywood and New York broadcasting industries. He was in radio, he was in television, he was on stage, he did performances live in front of the GIs and announced for the Armed Forces Radio Service. He was an announcer for many programs, and you're going to hear some of those programs, some excerpts from them, during the next 3 hours. Well, I guess by way of introduction, we can go back to an early tape, a clip of a program called The Nellie Revell Show, and let's listen to Don Wilson himself tell a little bit about his own career at that time.
Broadcasting Company presents Nellie Revell, celebrated newspaperwoman, raconteur, and interviewer whose inspirational and humorous observations, brilliant newspaper columns, and magazine articles have endeared her to millions. In this series, Miss Revell brings you the personalities of your radio favorites and better acquaints you with them. She tells you who they are and who they were before they became who they are. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Nellie Revell.
Thanks, Frank. Howdy, friends. You remember me, don't you? Not to be outdone by our Canadian cousin, I do have a quintuplet. A quintuplet of announcers. The voice you love to touch. Those big noun and bird men, you know. Well, anyhow, we have five announcers today. Don Wilson, Don Lowe, Dan Russell, Bennett Grauer, and Alwyn Bach. And we're going to have another amateur show, and these fellows better be pretty good because that gong is very handy. And my first imitation. Oh, well, anyhow, my first victim is Don Wilson. Mr. Wilson was born in Lincoln, Nebraska. Was raised in Colorado, where he attended the University of Boulder. Mr. Wilson is 6 foot, 2 inches tall, and weighs 220 pounds. Has dark brown hair and blue eyes. Round, good-natured face, and admits to 35 years of age. Don't look at those. After leaving college, what did you do, Mr. Wilson?
Well, Miss Revell, first I worked as a salesman for a wholesale drug concern and afterwards sold coal and oil. And all during that time, I was studying voice.
Soothing syrup and sugar-coated pills. What a nice training for an announcer. And then you left the coal bin and the oil cans for radio, huh?
Yes, I joined what was known as the Piggly Wiggly Trio. We worked on the coast for 3 years, and later I was at KFI as chief announcer.
Oh, yes, it was you who always announced the Rose Bowl game on New Year's Day at Pasadena, wasn't it?
Blushingly, yes, Mr.
You needn't blush for that. That's the best job you ever did.
Maybe I should go back, huh?
How long have you been in New York?
Well, since October 1933.
Married?
Oh, indeed.
Well, since you used to be one of a trio, how about a song?
Oh, I can't sing, Mr. Valdez. I haven't sung a note in 6 years.
Well, you're the biggest fella here, and you ought to make the most noise.
Well, it's noisy, but remember, you asked for it.
And I can take it, too. What are you going to sing?
The Man on the Flying Trapeze.
Play, Harold. Sing, Don. Wouldn't he look good on a flying trapeze?
He's flying through the air with a grace.
And our special thanks to Barbara Sunday for sharing that clip of the Nellie Revell Show with us. Let's go back a little bit further. 1933, to be exact. We don't know the exact air date, but it was 1933. And this is a complete show, a 15-minute show that Don Wilson was the announcer on. And you're going to hear some other great voices, too. Here we go with The Mirth Parade.
Presenting The Mirth Parade. Thank you. Wilson as the drum major. Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. This performance of the Mirth Parade takes us out in the wide open spaces where men are men and women are on their vacations. For believe it or not, we dedicate this performance to the Dude Ranch, the 1933 child of the glamorous old rancho of the Wild West days of the 80s. The Dude Ranch, a good place to get tired out on your vacation so you can go back to work and rest up. Westward ho, we're off to the Dude Ranch.
Pony boy, won't you be my pony boy? Don't say no, here we go, off across the plain. Carry me, right away with you. Yep, 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 whoa, my pony boy. Pony boy, pony boy, won't you be my pony boy? Don't say no, here we go, off across the plain. Carry me, right away with you. Yep, 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 whoa, my pony boy.
Riding Caballero, Senior Asthma, straight from the T-Bone Ranch. And he's undecided whether to run for the sheriff or run from him. Well. What's the matter, Asthma? You look rather pale.
What's the matter, Don? This, I'm not doing this in black right now, but it's perfectly right. All right. Now, listen, you know, you want to know why I look pale, Don?
That's what I want to know.
Well, you see, I've been working all week at a local vaudeville house here, and this applause just kind of startled me here, is all.
Well, they tell me that you stopped the show over there, is that right?
No, Don, I didn't exactly stop the show, but I did slow it up quite a bit.
You know, I've often wondered how you ever got started in the show business, Bob.
Don, I started in show business on a Dude Ranch down in Arkansas. I was a comedian down there in the stable.
Comedian in the stable? Yeah. I never heard of a comedian in the stable.
Well, you see, they had a lot of stubborn horses, Don. They'd clamp their teeth shut and wouldn't let the boys put the bits in their mouth, and it was my job to tell jokes to these horses. Then when the horses would start to yawn, they'd slip the bits in their mouth.
Tell me, did you ever make the horses laugh?
No, I didn't, Don. It wasn't until some time later when I started in vaudeville that I got my first horse leg.
Tell me, was telling jokes to the horses all you had to do in the stable?
No, Don, I was also the stable stenographer.
Oh, the stable stenographer. You mean you took down dictation?
No, I took down hay for the horse.
Well, I suppose you kept pretty busy.
Yeah, Don, there's a lot of things to do around the stable, and if you don't keep pretty busy, your work will pile up on you. I liked it much better than I did later on in vaudeville.
Well, tell me, why was that?
Well, you see, in vaudeville, Don, you had to work on the bill with some terrible acts. Now, there was an act right ahead of me that fella got out there and told a lot of bad jokes, and people would start hissing him. And then I'd get out there following him and get about halfway through my act, and the people would start thinking about this other guy, and they'd start hissing again.
Well, even at that, there's something about the atmosphere of the stage that you just can't help but like, is there?
Yeah, Don, I admit the atmosphere of the stage is better than the old job.
You must meet a lot of funny people on a Dude Ranch down there in Arkansas.
Yeah, one of the funniest things I ever ran into was a woman. It's the first time this lady had ever been out of the city. And the first morning I was riding along with her, and she pointed over in a pasture and says, "What's that funny-looking animal over there?" I says, "Lady, that's just a plain, ordinary old cow." She says, "What's those things growing out of its head?" I says, "Those are its horns." Just then the cow went, "Moo!" She says, "Which horn did he blow then?" See? I just tell you that, Don, to let you know I've been in show business a long time.
Well, it must be wonderful to be out there at night under the big moon, so romantic.
Don, you're too easy led, but I'll tell you about that moon. That moon ain't near as big as it used to be, Don.
What do you mean the moon isn't as big as it used to be?
Well, you see, Kate Smith darn near wore the moon out trying to get it over the mountain.
Oh, that boy's a real cowboy, but he still thinks a posse is some kind of a cat. And now Six Gun Andy Andrews swings his lariat and sings a quaint old cowboy song probably entitled "Lariat May Call You Sweetheart."
Why, thousands of automobiles go dashing down the street. They're just as common nowadays as shoes on your feet. Well, look at those reckless drivers. Oh, they're crazy as a bat. Yeah, but what's that coming down the street? Good heavens, what is that? Oh, looky, there goes the horse. Hey, hey, dear, there's a horse, yes, sir, there's a horse, trotting down the avenue. What a thrill for me, what a thrill for you, and I know I may be wrong, as a rule. But I'm not a fool. From pictures I've seen in school, there's a horse, there's a real horse. Oh, gosh, oh, gee, what a day for me, for I've lived to see what a horse and a buggy really look like. Oh, I'm thrilled, of course. I know what everyone at Tell will think. But I don't take a break, believe it or not, look. Say, I've seen a lot of queer things in this old world of ours. I've watched the monkeys in the cage for hours and hours. Yeah, I've studied the yaks and llamas. Yeah, and armadillos, too. Oh, but what's that coming down the street? Good grief, there's something new. Oh, look, oh, there goes a horse. Hey, hey, there's a horse. Yes, sir, there's a horse. Look at everybody stare as they all declare there's a horse and buggy right there. Why, I can't believe that it's true. Yeah, but I'm telling you, I'm glad that I've had a view of a horse, of a real horse. Oh, I'll confide that I'm thrilled inside, and I'm satisfied to a T. It's not an apparition. Oh, I'm thrilled, of course. I know that everyone will think I'm cracked. Yeah, but I swear to the fact, I'll tell the truth. Look, turn around, look. It's a horse.
One of the reasons why dude ranchers are so popular with the beautiful young debutantes. That's all right, Andy. You can just owe us the quarter, and we'll try and collect it next week sometime.
Hello.
Just see.
Hello, Danny.
Hello, Aunt Addie. Good old Aunt Addie, the anemic evangelist, as I live and breathe. Yes, sir.
What?
As I live and breathe.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm afraid that I can. Well, tell me, Aunt Addie, what's on your mind tonight?
That's dandruff, you see. Say, what are all these cowboys around here for?
Why, this is a dude ranch. This ought to please you. You're right at home amongst the horses.
You said it, Donnie. I was raised amongst horses.
You're telling me? Say, I want you to come over to my ranch. I've got a swell horse for you to ride.
What's that? You got a horse for me?
Oh, I got a swell horse for you to ride.
Hey, I never rode a horse in my life.
Well, this horse has never been ridden, so you could both start off together. How's that?
I think I better take some of the answers for a while. By the way, Donnie, you know, I used to live on a ranch, and I want to tell you something kind of confidential. We never used butter knives.
You never used butter knives? Why, Aunt Addie, that's awful. That's terrible.
I know it is, but you won't tell anyone we didn't use them, because you know how them things spread.
Oh, speaking about butter. Speaking about butter and all that, I want to ask you a question.
Go right ahead.
Just what is your favorite dish?
The saucer.
Uh-oh.
Anything else you'd like to know?
Yes, tell me this. When you ride a horse, what kind of a saddle do you use? A Western or an English?
Well, now, I really don't know, Donnie. What's the difference?
Well, a Western saddle is one of those with a horn on it, you know. You know, the kind's got a horn right in the middle of it up there in front.
Hey, whenever I get up on a horse, I'm so busy trying to keep on it, I don't have time to toot on no horn.
Well, here's an odd thing that I didn't know myself until Bob Burns just told me. Did you know that racehorses never eat the day before the horse race?
No, I didn't know that. But I do know that I usually don't eat the day after a race.
Here's another thing, Aunt Addie, I want to bring up right at this time.
All right.
I happened to be out walking around last night, and I saw a man trying to kiss you, you know, out in back of the ranch house. You didn't know I saw it, but I did.
Saw a man trying to kiss me? Did he succeed?
No, I'm afraid he didn't.
Then it couldn't have been me, you see.
What a woman, what a woman. Well, it seems that Aunt Addie has done a good job of reforming everyone in the world except herself. No matter what kind of a corset she wears, she's always in terrible shape. One of the advantages of a dude ranch, you know, is that there are always fresh eggs available. And by fresh eggs, we don't mean city slickers. We mean the kind of eggs that... Yes, yes, that's the kind of an egg. Florence Gill, ladies and gentlemen, the barnyard nightingale, imitating the mother of an omelet.
Yeah.
this time, this is Don Wilson bringing the Mirth Parade to a close. We'll be with you again soon.
Courtesy of John and Larry Gassman. That was the Mirth Parade from 1933, featuring three people who went on to greater things. Bob Burns, the late Bob Burns, the late Cliff Arquette, who did Charlie Weaver so many years, and, of course, the late Don Wilson. Mirth Parade from 1933. Thank you, John and Larry, for sharing that with us. Everybody had to start somewhere, didn't they? Oh, by 1933, Don Wilson was ready to branch out, and he certainly did. The Jack Benny program was very popular, or starting to be popular. The announcers in the early years were George Hicks. The actor Paul Douglas started out as an announcer on the Jack Benny program. Alois Havrilla was the announcer on the CBS, on the Chevrolet show. And, of course, in 1934, Don Wilson came aboard as the announcer on the Jack Benny show. And there was never any need to have auditions for other announcers. Don Wilson was with Jack Benny for the rest of Jack's radio and television career. Now I've put together some openings of various Jack Benny shows from the mid-1930s on up into the 50s to show you how the show evolved in the openings of the programs. Different names, different people, but always Don Wilson.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Johnny Green and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe from the picture To Beat the Band. Certainly, turn a phrase, as my grandmother used to put it. Mr. E.F. Ruth of New York, listen to what he says about Jell-O. The six delicious flavors stand out in front like a bolt of lightning on a dark and cloudy night. I can honestly and truthfully say that there is no other dessert on the market today that can live up to Jell-O's fine quality and delicious flavor. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Ruth. And the reason why you and millions of others prefer Jell-O is because Jell-O has found a way to capture extra-rich fruit flavor. Flavor you don't get in any other gelatin dessert. For there's only one Jell-O, and only Jell-O has this delicious, extra-rich fruit flavor. So look for the big red letters on the package. They spell Jell-O. And now we bring to you the cheerleader of this program, Jack Benny. The Jell-O program, coming to you from Western Women's Club in San Francisco, California, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with San Francisco from the picture of the same name. The game of questions and answers is really easy compared to one question that every woman has to answer every day. What will we have for dessert tonight? Well, here's a tip. On every package of Jell-O, you'll find delicious recipe suggestions. There are different recipes on the different packages, so the variety is almost unlimited. Every sort of delicious Jell-O dessert and lots of attractive Jell-O salads that you'll find especially helpful at this time of year. Look them over at your grocer's. You'll be surprised and delighted at the recipes on the Jell-O package. But remember, there's only one Jell-O, and only Jell-O brings you that delicious, extra-rich fruit flavor. That full-flavored, true-fruit goodness that simply cannot be topped. So don't accept any substitutes. Look for the big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O. Francisco, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you a man who has been in San Francisco a whole week and has just found out that the gold rush is over, Jack Benny.
Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, I think that was a very thoughtless introduction. I know perfectly well that the gold rush is over. It was in 1849.
Well, Jack, then why did you bring a pick and a shovel up here with you?
Because if history repeats itself, I want to be prepared.
The Grape Nuts Flakes program, coming to you from New York City and starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Dennis Day, Rochester, yours truly, Don Wilson, and our guest conductor, Abe Lyman. A habit. Now, here's a funny thing. Why is it we're always hearing so much about bad habits? Yours and mine and the next door neighbors. And still nobody has a kind word to say about good habits. Well, right now, I'm going to put in my 2 cents worth for a perfectly swell habit. The habit of starting your day off with that grand little eye-opener, crisp, tempty, toasty brown Grape Nuts Flakes. Yes, sir. Once you make a habit of Grape Nuts Flakes, once you sample that moldy, rich flavor and smack your lips over that crisp, toasty texture, you're certain to come back for more. Prove it. Tomorrow, just do this. Try a bowl full of appetite-making Grape Nut Flakes for breakfast. See if you don't find them so swell-tasting that a daily dish will become second nature to you. Yes, Grape Nut Flakes are a good habit. So why don't you make a daily habit of Grape Nut Flakes? Gentlemen, we have a little surprise for you. Jack wired us that owing to a slight delay coming up on the train from Norfolk, Virginia, he will be just a few minutes late. So while we're waiting for Jack, I'll turn the mic over to his very good friend, the famous star of Showtime, Georgie Jessel.
The Jack Benny Program. Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Larry Stevens, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Well, ladies and gentlemen, next Sunday night, we will be broadcasting from New York City. So let's go to Jack's house in Beverly Hills, where he's busy preparing for the trip.
the Jack Benny program, presented by America's largest selling cigarette, Lucky Strike. Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson.
There's a whole lot of radio history in that brief montage, about 20 years worth. I want to quote from the Jack Benny Show, a book by Milt Josephsberg, one of the great writers of the Jack Benny Show. It was published by Arlington House, and I heartily recommend it to anybody who loves old radio and Jack Benny in particular. In Josephsberg's book, he dedicates Chapter 11 to Don Wilson, and he says about Don, Don Wilson was with the Jack Benny Show longer than any other cast member with the exception of Mary Livingston. He was a huge, hefty, jolly man with a wonderful voice that made him one of the top radio announcers of all time. In addition, he had a big booming laugh plus a stomach and bouncy build in keeping with a man who weighed around 250 pounds. Because Rochester was his valet, Dennis was a simpleton, and Phil an illiterate lush, and Mary a girl with no definite duties, we made Don Wilson the intelligent one. Whenever Jack tried to show off his knowledge and incorrectly quoted an author or messed up a famous date in history, Don would hasten to correct him. A case in point, it led to one of the biggest laughs of the Jack Benny radio show when he had Dorothy Kirsten on his program, and it went like this.
Kirsten, I wanted to tell you that I saw you in Madame Butterfly Wednesday afternoon, and I thought your performance was simply magnificent.
Well, thanks awfully. It's an awfully nice and kind of you, Mr. Wilson. But who could help singing Puccini? It's so expressive, and particularly in the last act, starting with the Allegro Vivacissimo.
Well, how about being very modest, Miss Kirsten, but not every singer has the necessary bel canto and flexibility or range to cope with the high tessitura of the first act.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. And don't you think that in the aria Un bel di vedremo that the strings played the con molto passione exceptionally fine and with great sostenendo?
Well, I thought...
Oh, shut up!
That's not cricket.
Another example of Don's usage as the most erudite member of the cast came on the program of November 28, 1948. It was Thanksgiving, and Jack had to give a speech.
Well, kids, it's sure nice for all of us to be here on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, a day set aside where families can get together in common bond and humbly give thanks in a spirit of brotherly love.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Yes, Thanksgiving. A day that was originally started by the Pilgrim Fathers. The Pilgrim Fathers. That stalwart, staunch group of men and women who left their native shore.
Don, stop eating.
And after many months of suffering, had their hardship rewarded by safely landing at Cape Cod in the year of 1620. Yes, our Pilgrim Fathers.
Jack.
Our Pilgrim Fathers.
Jack.
What is it, Don?
The Pilgrims didn't land at Cape Cod. They landed at Plymouth Rock.
No, Don. It was Cape Cod.
Jack, any schoolboy knows it was Plymouth Rock. How can you say Cape Cod?
Don, don't tell me anything about history. I went to school, too. I say the Pilgrims landed at Cape Cod.
They didn't land at Cape Cod. It was Plymouth Rock.
Don, they landed at Cape Cod, and if you don't...
Jack, put down that carving knife.
Oh, pardon me.
Beast?
Excuse me, you stay out of it. Now, Don, this is Thanksgiving, so let's not quarrel. You think it was Plymouth Rock, I know it was Cape Cod. You can take my word for it, I know what I'm talking about.
Well, so do I. It was Plymouth Rock.
It was Cape Cod.
Oh, for heaven's sake, cut it out. Colby, serve the dessert, will you?
I will if those two gentlemen will get off the table.
I will if he will.
pull up some more of that white meat.
That's my leg. We should...
You should have told me sooner. I put some gravy on it.
I think it's awful for you to come here on Thanksgiving, accept Mary's hospitality, and start a big argument like this.
I didn't start the argument. You did. And you can ask anybody, and they'll tell you the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock.
I don't care who you ask. I still say they landed in Cape Cod.
Jack, for goodness sake, finish the speech you started.
I'll do it if everybody will shut up. Now, as I was saying, friends, we're gathered here on Thanksgiving Day in a spirit of friendship.
I gathered at 6:30.
Friendship, a word that in itself represents that binding tie between all people. Let's try, friends. Let's try to keep the feeling that is so prevalent on this day throughout the entire year. So whenever you feel discouraged, just think of the spirit of those pilgrims who sailed across the ocean deep and finally landed at Cape Cod. There it is. In the year of 1620, the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. Gee, it wasn't Cape Cod. It was Plymouth Rock. Don Wilson was right. Well, I hate to do this, but I guess I'll just have to call him up and fire him. He's so smart, he can get another job. Good night.
And get other jobs he did. Don Wilson was the announcer on the Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou show. And during the Second World War, he announced on command performance, mail call, and various Armed Forces radio service shows. And, of course, in the 1950s, he moved up to the NBC show, the Baby Snooks program.
The Baby Snooks Show. Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks with Hanley Stafford as Daddy and brought to you by Tums.
My daddy loves them.
Oh, hello there, Snooks. What can I do for you?
Will you give me some candy, Mr. Wilson?
Oh, I'm sorry, Snooks. I don't have any candy, but here, how would you like a shiny new penny?
I'd rather have a dirty old dime.
Now, look, young lady. Time you realize money doesn't grow on trees.
Well, where does it grow?
It doesn't. You have to earn it. And all these days, you have to earn a lot, the way prices are increasing. See this paper here?
Mm-hmm.
It says even castor oil is going up.
Yeah? Well, the only time castor oil bothers me is when it's going down.
Sucks. Why don't you try earning your spending money?
I would if I could get a nice soft job like yours.
Oh, you're right. Mine is an easy job. The easiest job in the world is selling Tums. Actually, I don't have to sell Tums at all. You millions of Tums users are doing it for me. Sure, you tell your friends how speedily Tums relieve heartburn, ease away the gnawing distress of over-acid stomach, help you feel better fast. So they try Tums and pass the good news along to their friends. And I say thank you, friends. Keep up the good work. Just be sure to add, the price of Tums has not gone up. Still only 10 cents a roll, three-roll package, a quarter everywhere. Ask for T-U-M-S, Tums for the tummy. The Baby Snooks Show came to you from Hollywood and was produced by Arthur Stander and written by Bob Fisher and Arthur Stander. Also appearing in the cast were Arlene Harris as Mummy, Frank Nelson, Elvie Allman, Ken Christie, and Fred Shields. Don't forget to listen to the Baby Snooks Show every Tuesday at the same time. This is Don Wilson reminding you that night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums, T-U-M-S, Tums for the tummy.
Now enjoy the Bob Hope Show. Tomorrow, laugh with Groucho Marx on NBC.
Don Wilson even did his bit for Navy recruiting.
Now hear this. Now hear this.
The United States Navy, the greatest Navy in the world, invites you to come aboard and enjoy this program of Down Home song and dance favorites. It's country music time. Starring Tex Williams and his band. Gather around, folks, because it's country music time, sent your way transcribed by the United States Navy and its Naval Reserve. Yes, friends and neighbors, this is Don Wilson saying it's time to sit back, relax, and listen. And enjoy the music of one of the nation's outstanding musical aggregations and one of the brightest stars of country music time, Tex Williams.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette.
It's country music time. Starring...
Tumbling down.
The sons of the pioneers.
Pledging their love to the ground.
Gather around, folks, cause it's country music time, sent your way transcribed by the United States Navy and its Naval Reserve. Yes, friends and neighbors, this is Don Wilson saying it's time to sit back, relax, and listen, and enjoy the music of the aristocrats of the range, six of the bright stars of country music time, the sons of the pioneers.
Drifting along with the tumbling, tumbleweed.
Many times in the Jack Benny program, the plot revolved around Don Wilson himself, and that took a lot of revolving because Don was a big man. As witness this program, just after they had come over from NBC to the CBS network in early 1949, the contract was up, and Don was refusing to sign his contract. Here is the following program from February 6, 1949.
The Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Wilson, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Don Wilson, yours truly, Rochester. Gentlemen, very few things go on in Mr. Benny's house that I don't know about. Last Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, Mr. Don Wilson came over to discuss his new contract with Mr. Benny. 5 hours later, they were still at it in the den behind locked doors.
Now, look, Don. I've given in to you on a lot of things. You have the right to do another show. I give you full credit on all our programs. You can take a 2-week vacation each year. You even have the right to approve of the script. Now, what else could you possibly want?
Money.
Don, there are things much more important than money.
Well, maybe so, Don.
No, wait a minute. You place too much importance on money. Don't you realize you can't take it with you?
I know, but I'd like to finger a little of it while I'm here.
Oh. Well, Don, everything else in the contract is satisfactory, isn't it?
Well, everything except Clause 11.
Clause 11?
Yes. That's the one that says I'm not allowed to eat during the broadcast.
Oh. Well, Don, I had that clause put in because of what happened a couple of weeks ago when you were eating a hamburger during the first part of the show.
So what if I ate a hamburger? I did my commercial all right, didn't I?
Yes, but your pear-shaped tones came out with onions on them. Remember, you can't do your level best with mustard dripping on your vest. So the no eating clause stays in.
Well, that's not important. That's not important. But what about the money?
Now, I made my final offer. You don't have to sign it now. I'll go out and leave you alone so you can think it over all by yourself. I don't know. Sometimes Don can be so stubborn that
hey,
I...
Hey, boss! Boss!
What is it, Rochester?
Has he signed it yet?
Not yet.
You want me to heat up the Brandon irons?
Oh, stop being silly. Anyway, I'm using the hunger treatment on him. Tell me, Rochester, were there any calls while I was in conference?
Yeah, the Thomas Allen called. She's having a big party Saturday night, and she wants you to be there.
Good, good. Did she say white tie or black tie?
White coat, you're going to park cars.
Well, Rochester, did you mention to Miss Stanley that I'd be glad to play my violin for her guest?
Oh, I always do. But she said they were going to have Yasha Heifetz for that.
Oh. Well, they probably would have had me, but Yasha can't park cars. Anyway, Rochester, I...
Hello.
Ah, poor Polly. You still haven't gotten over your cold.
Polly got a cold. Yasha.
Gesundheit. You know, Rochester, it's your fault that Polly has this cold. You never should have let her out of the house last week.
But, boss, how am I to know she's trying to have the snowball?
Have the snowball. Have the snowball.
See, it's amazing. She got a cold in the head from that. Well, I think I'll go back in the den and see if Don has made up his mind yet. Well, Don, have you decided to sign the contract yet at the salary I offered you?
No, Jack, and I want to tell you something. Never in my life have I seen anyone quibble over such trivial amounts as you do. Your parsimony absolutely revolts me. I've got to tell you, Jack, that you are, without a doubt, the cheapest, most miserly man I ever met.
What?
Don. Don, if you hate me, don't laugh like that. Don, never have I been hurt so by a friend. Now, how in the world can you say a thing like that about me?
Because it's true.
That's no excuse. Imagine talking like that about me. Not only have we been business associates, but I've been the best friend you've ever had. I've done more for you than anyone else.
Just a minute, Jack. What have you ever done for me? Name one thing.
All right, I will. How about during the war when you weren't getting enough food? Didn't I sell you Rochester's ration book? Didn't I?
Jack, that ration book was for shoes.
That didn't stop you. You ate them anyway. And another thing. Rochester, will you answer the door?
I'm getting it, boss. They're sure going after it hot and heavy.
Hello, Rochester.
Oh, hello, Miss Livingston. Come on in. The boss is in the den with Mr. Wilson.
Business or pleasure?
Business for Mr. Wilson, pleasure for Mr. Benny.
Oh, then they must be discussing Don's new contract.
Yes, ma'am, and they've been in there for over 5 hours.
Gee, Don must be tough. I remember when Dennis came over to talk about his new contract, he was out in just 20 minutes.
Yeah, his lawyer sprung him with a writ of habeas corpus.